Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? All right. For some of us, this is round two. And as I shared first service, if you're old enough to remember Smokey and the Bandit, you know, part of that song, you know, eastbound down, loaded up and trucking. So we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So we got a lot today, but we did it and like, yeah, it was great. So here we go. You guys ready? All right. So finish this phrase for me. Start well, finish well. There you go. That's no-brainer, right? I believe that that's God's desire for us. He wants nothing but the best for us, but that's usually aligned with trusting and believing in him. We experience the benefits of God as we remain or abide in him. The closer we draw to him, the closer he draws to us. It seems like an absolute no-brainer for those that believe in God to remain close to him all their days. But then we read about examples like in today's teaching that we just have to shake our head at and say, are you kidding me? Asa was a good king, as we'll see, with a great start, but with a disappointing end. The Bible, as I've mentioned before, is not just a love letter from God to his kids, but also a book of operating experience, also known as OE, that we can learn from, okay? And if you don't like operating experience, you can substitute it for the word history, right? So we learn from history or we become it, right? So, and in my nuclear environment, we use OE to make sure that we don't become a Chernobyl or, you know, a Fukushima or a Three Mile Island. Because the old saying is, if you either learn from OE or you become OE. So when I read these true life events in God's Word, I need to apply them to my own life, and so do you. It's not just enough to read over and say, yep, that was a bad king, or that was a good king, or how could God call this guy good? We should be looking deeper at what caused them to be good or bad in God's eyes, and where they went off track, so we can know where we need to apply those lessons learned into our own lives. Let me add one more thought here before we jump into the Word. It's less important how you start with God than how you finish. As we look at Asa's life today, please take notes for your own walk, do an assessment of where you're at, and add the necessary adjustments to your own life so that you may finish well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for this time to be in your house with your kids, God, just hearing from you. I pray that your word would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would move on hearts and minds, including mine, God. And God, I pray that you'd get me out of the way and just use me as your vessel to speak to your people today. Give us all ears to hear, but help us not just be hearers, but doers of your word, God. Help us to walk out of here changed and to apply these lessons to our lives. In Jesus' name. And all God's kids said, amen. Amen. All right, here we go. 2 Chronicles 14. Ma'am, we're going to have to remove you from the sanctuary if you keep making those faces. All right, that's my wife. She's trying to get me to smile. Just me. All right, 2 Chronicles 14, starting in verse 1. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. So God gave Asa and all the cities of Judah rest for 10 years because Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He didn't just act good, which we can so often do, but he actually took action to do what was right by removing the altars and the high places of the foreign gods, breaking down the idolatrous images, and commanding the people to seek the Lord God of their fathers. He also didn't sit back and rest while God gave him rest from enemy attacks, but he built and prepared fortified cities, getting ready for the battles to come. We can learn so much right here about what to do in our own lives. Here's a few operating experience notes you may want to write down. So one, start. If you want true rest and peace in your life, it can only come through a relationship with God. Surrender your life to Jesus. Two, learn. Asa was taught at some point that foreign gods and idolatry were a bad thing. So he was taught God's word. We need to know what God wants us to follow by reading and learning his word. Three, action. You don't have to be a scholar or go to seminary to take action in what God shows you daily through his word. If he's calling out a sin or a weight in your life that needs to be dealt with, don't put it off. Deal with it now. Four, voice. Be a voice for God in this world, or more specifically, your little area of the world, okay, where you have influence. So many people in this day and age want to be influencers for so many things. Be an influencer for Jesus so people can get saved. Five, teach. You may know a lot or a little about God and his word, but use whatever he has taught you and help people walk through God's word so they too can know what God's plan is for their life. And six, build. Okay, that's one of our main words for this year, right? Want to build. We will go through all kinds of trials. It's reality of our walk with God and living in a fallen world. But in moments of rest and peace, we need to not let our guard down because we have a relentless enemy that is always trying to take us out. Continue to build up your spiritual armor as you walk closely with the Lord. You can read more about that spiritual armor in Ephesians 6, which I don't have time to get into today. So those are just some takeaways. You may have more or less, but that's what I'm talking about. When I say take away some lessons learned or operating experience and start putting into practice what you learn. All right, let's move on. Verse 7, therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. And all these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Mareshah. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. So again, I'm not a mathematician here, but it looks like Asa and his army are severely outnumbered. Now, what's he going to do? That's right, pray. Verse 11, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Awesome prayer, right? Just straightforward, straight to the point. Asa is praying to the Lord his God, meaning he believed and wasn't coming from a place of unbelief or not knowing what God can do. He trusted God to come through. This wasn't some Pharisee, long-winded, polished prayer, but Asa cried out to God. He acknowledges what God is capable of, and they are resting on him, and they go to battle in his name, essentially saying, God, get him. Side note here, some prayer times are long and deep because we have the time and a long list of items we want to take before the Lord. Other times are immediate, urgent, and desperate. They're usually much shorter because the need is great. In either case, it's important to remember God is not our genie in a lamp to grant us wishes, but our Heavenly Father that is waiting to hear from his kids and loves us enough to come through for him big time when needed. Amen? So here's a question for you. When there's trials, problems, when your world gets rocked, what do you do? Is your first move crying out to God, or is it something that comes much later? I would encourage you, regardless of the situation, to go quickly to the Lord in prayer. He wants to hear from you and loves you beyond what you can even understand. Now let's see what happens as the result of Asa's prayer. Verse 12, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar, so the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. They defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So when we involve God in our life and seek him wholeheartedly, our battles become his battles. And he's way better at fighting battles than we are. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Let's move into chapter 15. What? Another chapter? Yes. Verse 1, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And that's an important point to stop at. Remember, in the Old Testament, we rarely see the Spirit of God mentioned coming upon people. And it was for a very specific times and very specific purposes. This is one of those times. What's cool is we as believers in Jesus have this same Spirit of God living in us. Is that a mind-blown moment there? So very rarely do you see all through the Old Testament the Spirit of God coming upon, and yet we have that same Spirit living in us and accessible to us at all times. Verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. This is a word from the Lord to Asa, all Judah, and all Benjamin. An encouragement and a warning. A conditional promise. How many times have we blown this promise? And how many times have we been grateful that we have Jesus who has taken us back time and time again? Right? Verse 3, for a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed all the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken into the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt in them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So this is really cool. So he gets this prophet coming to him basically to encourage him in this moment. And here's a question for you guys. Have you ever had someone speak prophetically over your life? It's such a cool occasion. And in this occasion, Asa takes courage, which is to say he's pumped, right? He's highly encouraged, which should be the response when we're doing what God has shown us to do. So in my 25 years of walking with the Lord, I've only had a couple times that somebody has spoken prophetically over me, but none so clear and spot on as when Ben Goodman spoke over my life years ago here at Reach. What did he say, you ask? Well, amongst other things, he said, God gives you the hard cases, meaning putting challenging people and situations in my life, which has actually been 100% true. So if you're close to me and are a hard case and challenging, then thank you for your participation in God's plan for my life. I won't look at anybody specifically. In all seriousness, though, God has wired each one of us for specific purposes, giftings, and abilities for his kingdom and glory. It's not all sunshine and roses, is it? But it's still working out for his good and ours. All right, verse 10. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. That's a giant barbecue. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. So if you're going to seek to seek God, don't do it half-heartedly. Remember what it was like when you first got saved. The excitement, the complete childlike faith that you once had. Come back to him with that same fire. Ask God to reignite that fire in you. Verse 13, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. So that's a hard verse right there, but side note here, verses like these have been used throughout church history to do many terrible things in the name of God. So just to make clear, we're not leaving here today to go destroy Leland and surrounding areas to fulfill this verse. Amen? Okay, good. The point that we can glean here is that we should see an urgency to see people saved all around us, that we share as the Holy Spirit leads the gospel message so that they have an opportunity to turn to the Lord. All right, verse 14. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. There was true worship of the Lord, and God gave them rest. So here's the point. If you want rest, worship God. Amen? Verse 16. Also, he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. So Asherah was a sexual goddess. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So as the Holy Spirit moves through a believer's life, there should be a marked change in the things that once ruled your life as he shows you what needs to go. It could be removing people from your life that are leading you away from the Lord, like Asa did with Maacah, who was also worshiping a sexual goddess. It could be throwing out your alcohol when God says, that's enough, stop. That has caused your family enough pain. like he did with me 23 years ago. The point is, the Holy Spirit shows exactly what needs to go and when. It is our job to listen and obey. He also shows us what to put in place instead of the things that once consumed us. It always begins and ends with more of him and less of us. Amen? All right. Chapter 16. Verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So no worries. Asa believes in God. He's been here before. It's just been several years since his last battle. Let's see how he prays this time. Verse 2. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his army against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. So wait a minute. Where was Asa's prayer? Why didn't he cry out to God this time? It's been a long time since his last big battle, so maybe he forgot. Let's see God's perspective through Hanani. So verse 7, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Ouch. So God sends Hanani with a correcting message to Asa, which may seem harsh to some, but we have to remember that in this whole story we call life, we are not God. That role is already taken. We are the clay. He is the potter. He makes us how he wants and expects that we will be obedient to his direction for his glory and our good. And I don't know about you, but 25 years into my walk with the Lord, sometimes it's easy to go on autopilot and assume I know what direction I should go without even seeking him. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I have. It usually means setbacks and or painful experiences. The sad part, it's completely avoidable if we just continue to seek him rather than rely on our own strength, i.e. the flesh. Why is it that we, me included, forget to include the Lord when he is the only one that knows what he's doing? He's right here waiting to help, and we're like, nope, I've got this. No, you don't. Well, now let's see how Asa repents for his sin in trusting man instead of trusting God. Okay? Surely he's going to repent. Verse 10, then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. What? Asa, what happened, bro? You started so good, and now you're getting mad at God's messenger and oppressing people? Why? From my own perspective, as seeing many people over the years that I even served in ministry with fall out of love with God, that were once on fire for Jesus, it usually boils down to a pattern of complacency distance, and sin. You will see the same patterns in reading the stories in the Bible, especially with the kings of Israel and Judah. Some were wicked all their days. Some started bad and ended good. And some, like Asa, started so good and yet finished poorly. And we don't get all the details in Asa's life of where he turned the corner, so to speak. But if we're honest, maybe we've seen the same things in our own lives that should cause us to stop and say sorry to God for being complacent in our walk or being distant, or maybe we're much further along and we've been sinning with a lack of care or concern. Or what if we at some point just stop saying thanks, God? Like Pastor Heath covered last week, when we are unthankful, we become unholy. When we're unholy, we become back in our old man, right? I mean, or old woman. And bottom line is, we need to continue to give thanks always because that's the will of God. So we're in a place where we are, you know, in danger. So what if he sent you a Hananiah to correct you? Would you humbly accept that correction and repent? Or would you get angry like Asa and take it out on the person that's trying to help you as part of God's love for you? Well, let's see how Asa's story ends. Verse 11. Note that the acts of Asa, the first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe, yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him. The end. When faced with yet another trial, Asa unfortunately didn't learn the lesson. He might have had the disease cured by the Lord if he would have cried out to God, but he didn't. The lessons that he learned early in life when things got tough, he abandoned later in his life. His story could have ended so much better. Galatians 6:9 tells us, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Brothers and sisters, don't grow weary in doing good. We haven't arrived yet. Just like Paul said, we need to press on. Why do we need to press on? Because we're not home with the Lord yet. We're still walking this life. And it's tough, right? But it's not impossible because we have that same Holy Spirit living in us that can give us the ability to walk these things out and not to grow weary in doing good. Worship team, I'll call you up. So what about you? What about me? If today has called us, God called us home and someone wrote a brutally honest account of our life, what would be said? Even though it's fiction, I can't help think about the Christmas Carol and the character of Ebenezer Scrooge. It shows how far gone someone can get from God, even with all the money in the world, and be completely soulless. His story was already written. He was doomed, but then he had the opportunity to see all his faults and sins before his very eyes and was able to change his story. Well, guess what? God has given us the same ability through his son, Jesus. We can change our story. It's not too late. You know, last week when we were in service, I was thinking about a brother of ours that was running a 100-mile ultra marathon. And he was finishing at the same time we were, like, here in service. And afterwards, some of us had talked to him, and there was many times in the middle of that 100-mile marathon that he wanted to quit. How did he keep going? One, he had to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. The other, he also had brothers that were encouraging him along the way, myself included. Aaron was another one. And that's another 100-mile marathon finisher right there. It's like you think, how can you do that? You know, well, think about it spiritually. How can we do this thing called life? But God, right? He has made the way. So be grateful that we have a God that cares enough that he has made us part of his story. So looking back at where Asa might have gone wrong, if it's complacency in your life today, repent and ask God to put a fire back in your heart for the things of him. If it's distance, if you've been far from God, repent and ask him to draw near to you once again as you draw near to him. If it's sin, repent and ask God to remove that desire for whatever that is and ask him to replace it for a greater desire of him. Let him write your story today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the example that you've shown us today. And I thank you, even though we saw where Asa went wrong, and yes, he's exposed to all of us right now, God, you still call him a good king. And God, we know that there's nothing good in us apart from you. But you have made the way of escape for us. You have given us new life. You've made us new creations in Christ Jesus. God, all those truths, all those promises, all those things are available to us because you have made the way. So Lord, help us to see these lessons and apply them to our lives. Help us to walk rightly before you so that when our story is read, we can say he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.